I'm going to tell you a few stories. All you have to do is listen.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, a show that asks you to pick a card. Okay, now put it back. Good, good. Keep it in your head, okay? Now call your mom and ask her to check her purse. Boom. It's there, right?
It's there, right?
This is a bonus time. We're doing bonus for the month of April 2016. This is the bonus episode for Slight.
2016?
Did I say 16?
Yeah, 2017.
17, shit.
It's because the Slight movie technically came out in 2016?
That's right. That's why I was reading the IMDb.
Yeah. It technically came out in 2016, but it's 2017.
Fuck me up on that one. So we'll be reviewing Slight today. Let me give us the quick rundown real quick. Bonus episodes works. Once a month, we pick a movie that is not going to be released to the main audience for 5 months. For another 5 months. And only the people who donate to our show for creating this content and hopefully creating more in the future, we bring out bonus episodes like this, and we give it to those people who donate in that month as a new release review. And then for non-subscribers or non-donators or whatever you want to call them, they get them 5 months on the road along with everyone else.
It's a perk, motherfucker.
So this month we chose Slight, and it is a weird magician Blumhouse film, and not a horror film. Actually, Blumhouse did not make a horror this time, but it's definitely in the drama, you know, thriller.
Is it Blum or Blum?
Is it Blum?
I would say Blumhouse.
Let's go with Blumhouse. Okay. Blum. Yeah, I definitely don't want to say Blum again.
Yeah,
you're right. I'm with you. What should be wrong?
Mm-hmm. Like Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Blumhouse.
Yeah. Where did that guy go?
I don't know. He melted with other pretty boy actors that looked the same to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were excited for this movie. The trailer looked awesome, so we chose this one, and hopefully you like it. Give me my spiel here. This is for feedback on any episode we do. You can send it to podmoviecast@gmail.com. You can follow our Twitter accounts. Ralph, is yours what? What's yours again?
My Twitter is GamerRalph with two R's and an F.
Mine's is Armin Filmmaker, Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. And then you can follow the show itself on Twitter at PodMovieCast, just like the Gmail. And otherpodcast.com is you can find all the other bonus episodes we've released and are going to release. There's a calendar and everything that tells you when and where and why. And it's fun, and I would suggest to go there and donate. If you can't do any of that, don't worry about it. You can send us a review or ratings on iTunes. That would be amazing. Send traffic to our feed or tell your best friend or tell your water cooler buddies or whatever you want to do. I think all that's cool.
Yeah.
Now, without further ado, let's get into our only review for this evening, Slight.
I can do something no one else can.
Oh, my God.
I need more power.
This isn't for a trick, is it?
There's a lot of things in our lives that can trap us. But these barriers only exist in the left. I mean, we can do whatever we want if we just believe we're able to.
Bo is a young street magician with a badass engineering degree who must care for his sister alone. Turned to drug dealing, Bo gets in too deep and now must fight his way out using his peculiar set of skills. Right? We talked about it. Right?
So does not have an engineering degree, but he's an engineer nonetheless.
Yes. No, yeah. He didn't have a degree. No. I thought he did. My bad. It's written and directed by J.D. Dillard, a man whose work I have not seen before, I don't believe. I'm checking up right now to make sure. Yep, have not seen his movies. I think this is his first real big movie or feature-length movie. It stars Jacob Lattimore as Bo, Seychelle Gabriel as the love interest, Dulé Hill from Psych.
Yeah, among other things. Yeah.
And what's the other thing I know him from? Oh, West Wing.
Yep.
The West Wing, that's right, as Angelo. And Storm Reed, great name, by the way, Storm Reed, as Tina, who plays a little sister. And those are the main actors, really. So let's get into it, Ralph. What did you think, without spoilers? Oh, I didn't mention that earlier. We're trying this thing out with the bonuses first before we get into our main show programming. We're going to separate the spoilers because we know that we're living in that age, and we should definitely try to appeal for more listeners.
We were all
listeners.
Butthurt and stuff, yeah.
No, we should. We should try to appeal.
Sure. I mean,
this is not just for us.
Right.
If we're doing it for us, we don't need to record it and resend it on there, right? So I understand that, and I'm going to try to change that better. So, but bear with us. We're not completely 100% on everything. But anyway, so we're going to separate the spoilers with a clip or something. We'll figure it out. So, spoiler free, Raph, what did you think of Slight?
Man, that one bar? No.
those last 5 seconds?
Right, exactly. I was a little bit conflicted in this movie when I first saw it, or when I only saw it, because I thought it was more of a horror thriller kind of thing. It is thriller, I would say, more.
But it has moments.
Yeah, but at the same time, I just didn't know. I obviously did not know what to expect. All I saw from the trailer was cool magic shit happening, or what looked like to be magic.
Yeah, in the trailer, they show him like levitating the bat.
Right, exactly.
And sending it across the room in high speed where it goes through the wall and
shit. Exactamundo, yeah. So seeing that, I was just like, okay, interesting. And then actually watching
that's the movie. That's trailer talk.
Yeah, that's trailer talk. Yeah. watching the movie, though, I overall want to say I liked it. It was a really cool movie. Kind of weird ending. We'll talk about that later, obviously. But at the same time, I actually really love this one part. It's a quick explanation in it that we'll get to it in a bit.
Yep.
That it kind of explains a lot about the movie and a lot about the character, Bo. So overall, yep. First impressions is a really good movie. I had fun with it. Would I watch it again? I don't know. I want to say yes, I would. Yeah, I would.
You just made up your mind now.
Yep.
I would say I would watch it again. I'm not sure if it's buying material necessarily, although I would buy it if it was cheap. I'm less inclined to buy movies these days just because I'm just more into watching newer things or things I haven't seen before than I am rewatching films I love. Now, the ones I really love and the ones I grew up with, which, you know, just happen to be 90s, 80s stuff, you know, just happen to be the way the dice landed on time, right? So besides those, I mean, I rarely rewatch movies, even if I love it. So, but I would, you know, if the occasion arises, it's on TV or someone brings it up or whatever, like, yeah, watch it. So I do recommend, I do like it a lot. The main thing about this movie is that I was really surprised because, again, the trailer was kind of misleading, and not in a bad way, thank God, but it was misleading to, like, I was thinking that this looked like a modern version of magic, but actual magic, you know. There was another movie I was trying to think of earlier today that's kind of like this, that reflects it a little bit, where they take a regular guy who is clearly adept at something that people think it's like a trick, but it's real. And I was trying to think of the movie, but I can't think of it anymore. So I thought that's what this was, and it's not. I'm going to put that out there now, and I guess that is a spoiler if you are only basing on the trailer like we did, but it's also like, you know, right away. It's not like a huge... It's not a payoff that doesn't pay off.
Sure.
At least I don't think so. So instead, I was surprised by getting a nice little drama. Not a little, actually, but nice drama set in L.A. Also very rare to see movies actually set in L.A.
That's not like Rodeo Drive and Beverly Hills.
Well, actually, it's too expensive to shoot in L.A.
Sure.
People fake L.A. a lot, but they don't...
Yeah, well, it's a lot of studios everywhere. Right. I mean,
they shot in the streets and shit.
Yeah. Well, it also felt like just, you know, your general L.A. It didn't feel like... I feel like a lot of L.A., we see a lot of, like... Oh, this is like where the studios are, or this is where the Beverly Hills area is, and you're just like,
yeah. Or it reminds me of Tangerine. Have you seen that movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you know about it?
I do.
Do you remember? Okay, it was like a kind of a hit two or three years ago. That was like, it feels very LA. Everything they shoot there, people from LA recognize almost everything in that movie because it's so personal to LA. Anyway, whatever, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's shot there. It's nice. It's very street level. It's very low level. Kind of like, you know, filmmaking, not like low level bad, but like low level makes you kind of feel like grounded as a character is grounded. Like the guy is having a hard situation. Bo is a man who's recently lost his parents. I think they lost dad a long time ago, and then the mom recently, or a year before, or 2 years before, and has to care for his younger sister who's in grade school by, unfortunately, drug dealing and working on the streets as a street magician, similar to David Blaine, only not as successful. But he does great. I mean, there's several montages of him working as a drug dealer successfully in his car. He has like a certain set of number of like regular clientele and then new ones, of course. Like what do you call them? Like referrals, right? And then there's also montages of not even together, but also together of him working in the streets in the daylight, magic. And he's really good. He's really cool. You could see a lot of the responsibility on the young man's shoulders in a good way. And the movie does a really good job of showing you the amount of anxiety or the worry or the weight, the responsibility, all this stuff is on him at all times, on his face, on the way he acts.
I think there's a really good, what's it called, his facial expressions or just in his demeanor when he's working one job between the other, when he's doing the drug dealing. You can obviously tell he's obviously a lot more nervous and just kind of doesn't want to do it, reluctant to do it, but he knows he has to. In comparison to when he does magic on the streets, he's like really happy about doing magic on the streets.
Right, because he still gets to, he's somewhat lucky because he gets to do something he loves to do. He's not stuck working at a dead-end job or something.
Right, yeah. He is lucky, yeah. He does both.
Yeah, he does. He has literally both extreme versions.
In one day, yeah.
Because the middle of down-the-road version is working a 9-to-5 job, right?
Right, exactly.
You don't have the drug deal, but you also don't get to do your passion, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, but in this case, yeah, whatever. So that was really cool. What did you think of the development? Not the slow burns, because it kind of goes into it pretty okay, pretty fast. The relationship between him and the girl and his girlfriend in the movie.
I thought it was interesting. It makes sense, everything that happened overall.
Her name is Holly, by the way.
Yeah. I did feel like it did feel kind of quick, that especially after that date, the one that she comes over. And she's just like, I'll take care of your daughter or your sister for you. And I was like, oh, that's not weird. Like, that's really weird. But it does make sense where the explanation comes in from later and all that jazz.
Good. We'll get to that in spoilers for sure. That's definitely spoilery.
Sure.
But I do want to say that I felt it was too quick for me. Not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah.
But I was able to swallow it because clearly, like, even though she is a prime reason for, like, a lot of the third act decisions, like one of the reasons and one of the big ones. It isn't that important because the drug dealing aspect was there before they met. The fact that he has to take care of his sister. The main stakes of the movie is always there before, during, and after she's around.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, I put it aside. Like, okay, fine, I forgive it. But it was a little too quick for me.
It did feel quick, for sure, yeah.
And there's another quick moment, that scene you were talking about when she gives you kind of answers to the audience. I thought that was, like, weirdly placed. But we'll get to that. But, yeah, I did like, overall, Seychelle Gabriel. She's a pretty good actress. I've seen her on other stuff, but
I want to see me too, but I can't remember.
I'm not gonna look it up. That's fine. So I thought they actually had good chemistry, which was nice, because 9 out of 10 is hard to see that on screen, to convincingly see chemistry.
Yeah.
It was really good, and I did like her entrance. She kind of nice, because you're also voting, you're rooting for Bo to have a good life. And part of that is the love angle, and you want him to have love, and not just for his sister,
sure,
but for, you know, some romantically, and it, you kind of root for him to enjoy his time, and thank God that, you know, she's not a piece of shit or trying to extort him, or even trying to, like, not even, like, do, I mean, not even that extreme, maybe, like, feel like give him shit for going off at odd hours. Like, I always thought that was gonna be a plot point in the movie. He keeps getting calls to join his talk to his drug boss.
Yeah.
And she never really lets him have it for any of that, and that was cool, at least not that we saw. So I like that. Anything you want to say about the eventual, without spoiling, obviously, before we get into spoilers, because we're almost there, we both recommend it, obviously, but anything you want to say about the inevitable action that comes up, like all that, do you feel like it's earned? Do you think people will love it or like it? I mean, is there an audience for this movie?
There's an audience for this movie. I do see, I understand all the problems that come up with the action stuff and everything that happens in the movie, in the third act, or second, third act, really.
Mm-hmm.
None of it felt unbelievable, uncrazy, or just like, it felt like, yeah, that's probably what somebody would do in those situations. Like, you'd have to go do it. Like, because he, especially where, you know, he understands what the consequences are for certain things. You know. So,
yeah.
And I do have a problem in the second act that leads to the third act that kind of just like, okay, like, you didn't, I don't know, I felt really, I got it, but at the same time, I almost felt like very tropish.
Okay.
So, yeah, and we'll get to that when it comes to.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I would say that this movie is not like revolutionizing the 3-act structure. It's pretty much 3-act structure, normal stuff going on. It's just the acting, really, the way it gets there. It's that some of the stuff, a combination of things, are the ones we haven't seen really before, or it's like nice or nicely done in an independent kind of way. So I think those are what stands out in the movie. It's not like it does follow simple. I mean, like, just a regular movie. Conflict is met, new person's met.
Right.
Resolution, right? Anyway, so, let's get into spoilers starting now.
Okay. Anyone you want. All right?
Okay.
I want you to sign your name on that card. You don't need to hide it from me. We all should know which one is yours. Okay. Shuffle your card into the deck. Get it lost in there. Perfect. And there's a lot of things in our lives that can trap us. It could be a person, a problem. There's so many things that can wall us in. Mm-hmm. But these barriers only exist if we let them. You know, we can do whatever we want if we just believe we're able to. There's a card in here with your name on it, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say 51 of these cards are too scared to trust themselves, too afraid to believe that they can do whatever they want. Okay. For your card knows there's no wall, no limit, no barrier.
Okay.
Is that your card?
All right, so what was the problem you had in the second act that led to the third act that you didn't?
Well, when he cuts the drugs.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah.
That felt very tropish.
Go ahead.
Well, and I say very tropish as in, like, he's already been led to do these things, right? If I remember the movie correct, he's already done this crazy thing, right?
Well, my understanding is that Dulé Hill's character, Angelo, who's his drug boss, if you're still listening and haven't seen the movie, they look like they were like old school friends, or they knew each other from like the old days, and obviously Angelo became a drug dealer, while Bo went off to try to go for an engineering degree and became, you know, was a genius, but didn't finish school.
Sure.
And they got together back that way, right? It seems like maybe he was cooler back then or something.
It does feel like that, but at the same time, it wasn't like that almost. It was almost like I knew who he was already because I was already buying for him from mm-hmm. him or something like that. And I just knew he was a cool, really chill guy from what I seemed. I didn't see that they had a friendship beforehand.
No?
No.
They didn't say anything.
They didn't say that, right? Yeah. But I didn't see that either. It was just more like, yeah.
I'm just curious how a nice kid like Bo gets into a guy like Angelo. And not saying... What makes you think that he would? Like, how can you see? I mean, I just can't see it without them having a past already.
Yeah, maybe they did.
I mean, that's how Bo is. He's just so wholesome and a good kid. And
yeah, overall, he is. Maybe it was something past related where he knew the guy, like, in a personal life, but I don't think it was, like, a friend.
Or is this more common than I think? Maybe this is my part of my not knowing the world as well as I think I do, where maybe it does really corrupt and it does take in people that are not normally like this and would never do this, seemingly, and then get into a world and they follow you the way, either get more violent or less violent. Then, I mean, in Bo's angle, thank God, he chose the...
Well, because from what I remember, I think he's like, I picked you off the streets or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what he says.
He may seem that way, but he really just... His mother just died and all that, right?
Right. Well, I honestly felt like it was probably... He probably saw him doing street magic. and then he was just like, hey... This is your main job. This is what you do. Like you, he's like,
meet
you want a real job,
right?
Yeah, you want a real job. Like you work in this area. You know the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I'll give you an opportunity. Like and you know he probably wooed him. Like showed him like I'm a really easygoing guy. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know.
So do you think
it was like a gangster?
Do you think
or
Angelo
a gangbanger
always
or whatever?
Always was such a dickhead
cool.
that we see him as later on? Because like for a while he seems to just be really. Cliche drug dealer Angelo Barksdale type, like violent and revenge driven when someone wrongs him. That's what I think at first when he wronged, you know, that guy who was on his turf. Remember, he said he should have killed, but he didn't at the first time.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Like that whole thing, like is that whole scene with them interrupting their poker table and he beats them. I thought that was a good scene because it's even though I think he did it wrong, Angelo, I mean, as a businessman of the illegal stuff, it was meant for Bo to see. Clearly, he's never seen this before. He did not know that Angelo had it in him to be this way, which was surprising to me when I first saw it. And all I thought that it meant is that Angelo, we're clearly not only seeing Bo's life transforming in different ways, we're also seeing Angelo... forcing Bo to try to transform to his way by showing him this violence as if, like, okay, it's time to level him up, this young kid who sells drugs for me, by see if he can break this guy's arm. Oh, what did he do to the guy later on? Cut it off.
Cut it off, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking drills. Like, no, it wasn't a drill. So it's not your machete. Yeah, yeah. So that was like, it's like this weird, like, I felt like, Evangeline knows this kid. He knows not to. I mean, he will never respond. I mean, I don't understand. Why force him to do it?
I think it's a little bit of both, and this was what really got me in the second to third act, where he does the cutting of the drugs.
Yeah,
it made no sense to me. It made no sense why he would double cross him after he just did these crazy things for him.
Yeah,
where it's meant to scare him into saying this guy's crazy and he's willing to go this far, and if I don't do what he says, I'm gonna get the same treatment, kind of thing, right? It leads that, and it also leads into like, I do this and I'm kind of cool with him. I can probably just ask to get away. To leave if I ever need to leave or whatever.
Why was he in such a hurry, Bo, to leave so fast? Because, I mean, what's changing in his situation before he crosses Angelo by cutting the drugs? I mean, like, what forces him? I mean, just greed? Like, he wants to do it fast now? I mean, I was trying to think of a reason. Could it have been, like, Holly's situation? Because she had a bad situation at home and she gets beaten often.
I honestly think his mentality was that he's gonna have a lot more worse things to do.
So like he'll be seeing a lot worse. He'll be asked
he'll be asked to kill someone next,
yeah.
And he can't live with that decision. And his way of going about it is wrong.
Yeah.
And obviously that's what. And I get that's like the whole hook of the movie, right? Or the third act.
Yeah.
I just felt like you're literally about to double cross somebody, right? Who just you just did all this shit for it, and it just didn't make sense in my mind.
Yeah.
And then when he gets caught, right,
yeah.
that he cut up the drugs, he gets caught, and he's like, oh, like, I want your profits from all this, right? And it really bothered me that he never asked anybody in his life for the help. And I get that's not his person. That's not his style, right? But, and especially towards the end, and this is like very end of the third act,
yeah.
Where he's basically asking everybody for help at that rate, but he's never asked anybody for money. It's almost like he never wants to be indebted to anybody else.
Well, I can see that.
I can see that as well. But you're also in a bind where you're not asking for somebody to like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It seems like right. You didn't have a choice.
This is a life and death situation, yeah. Right? From according to him. And I think in my life and death situation, I would go as low as groveling if I needed to, right? Mm. Just because it's life or death. And especially it's not even his life. It's
right.
It's a mixture of his life and his sister's.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. It's an interesting one. I get like there's still a weird thing about pride still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that his sister is not only like a selling point for the stakes of the movie, which is normal. You know, Charles was his name. Charles Bronson always had that daughter and the wife that got killed, so he could take revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My sixth wife and 23rd daughter.
Right. They got raped and murdered, and I got killed at Yakuza.
Right.
Like that always helps, but furthermore, like I feel like it's almost the opposite. Without his sister, he would have probably been a regular thug, drug dealer, or something. Or not even that. He killed himself because of all the. He wouldn't try as hard.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Like I feel like his life wouldn't be so.
His sister is basically
rewarding at the end.
Is basically the biggest pillar holding him up right now.
Yeah, yeah,
and like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's kind of like the hardship of having a sister to take care of
sure.
Is what keeps him going.
It is, exactly.
Which is strange to think about, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect of the movie. I did kind of wish we had more on some of the history, but the movie is very minute-by-minute, present-day kind of thing. What did you think of Holly's thing about her acceptance of him? And I'm talking about that scene particularly when she tells, you know, he finds out first that she has, like, this crazy scars in the back. First, he sees one on her face, I think. And then later on in the back or the back first. It doesn't matter, but it gets worse.
Back and then yeah, because this is the weird – this is where it goes too fast for us.
Because they sleep together pretty fast.
But they don't have sex. They just sleep together.
Right. But she's staying over.
Right. Like, she offers to stay,
yeah.
Right? And then the explanation is that she's getting beat at her house. There's domestic violence, right? Her mother, supposedly, right?
Right.
Is beating her. And he's like – and which makes sense why she wants to stay.
Right.
Especially as long as – and for me, it worked out. It panned out. But in the moment, it did feel really fast. And then when you get the explanation, you're like, okay, it kind of makes sense. Like, I didn't...
Yeah, it does. But it's like, I don't know, something about the way it was shown or shot.
Sure.
It felt even faster to me. I don't know. You're probably right, though. It does make sense. It does explain why she would be so into him right away.
Right.
And I do like the fact that her intro to him was magic.
It
goes really well into why he does some things.
Yeah.
Because he opens up to his thing. It's like... So the real cool thing about this movie, if you want to call it the cool thing, the magic stuff, is that magic becomes a plot point in the movie, but in a way you never expect. And it's never the main reason he's doing magic, but it's the main reason he had a passion to begin with that saves his life. And that is, the what's that movie with Christian Bale and...
Super Huff the Magician?
Huge, yeah.
No.
It's called The Prestige.
The Prestige, yeah.
In The Prestige, one of the main things about that movie, like this movie, is that you have to sacrifice a lot for a special trick that's unique to you. You know, they talk about that magician, the Chinese magician that they visit in that movie. And then, you know, spoiler for The Prestige, but, you know, he has a twin. And the whole point is that he always hides it. And then always committing to hiding it, even if you lose all the marriages, and it doesn't matter. The trick is what's important. The magic is, right? The showmanship.
Exactly.
And this guy does the same kind of philosophy where he basically sacrifices his health and his arm by installing this generator. I can't even explain what it is. I think he does call it something. This generator thing, you know, from his engineering studies, to actually levitate objects by using his hand.
Magnetism,
but it's also more than that. But it's like strange magnetism because he can lift non-metal also. Because the bat, was the bat metal?
I think it was an aluminum bat.
Oh, my bad. Maybe it was only metal. Anyway, so because I know the gun's metal. But anyway, so he does that with his arm, and it looks crazy. It looks dangerous. He has to like.
Well, what's crazy is that he, and this is explained very close to the end of the movie. Well, we'll just get into it. But he ends up having, it's basically like a generator. It's, think of a little mini Tesla coil going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's basically what it looks like a Tony Stark thing in his chest.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Very resemblance. And he's got it in his arm, and he actually has the wires going through his veins. And not through his veins, but hitting on the vein.
Right.
Where it'll control certain fingers. Certain movements of his fingers will actually control it. Yeah. Like he's got copper wires running through there. Yeah. Very thin ones, obviously, where he doesn't hurt him as much. But at the same time...
But he's running energy.
Yeah, right. So...
it's still very dangerous.
It's still super dangerous, and it's infected. Like, you see it early in the show.
Not super infected, but it looks like it won't... Yeah.
I mean, it looks like the body is trying to heal over it at this point.
Yeah.
Completely. And it looks really fucking fly-like.
It's like a combination of cool and gross.
Yeah, for right. sure.
Because of this.
Cool. Right, and that's actually probably my favorite part of the movie. And it's not the fact that he has this cool thing going on. It's more the reason why he has it. And
he doesn't give that whole story about the guy with the hand. Right,
right, exactly, where he just had so much scar tissue eventually that he just managed to put a knife through it
and do it as a trick.
Do it as a trick, right. And that's because you're dedicated to the show.
Right.
And that's his dedication. His dedication is like, I need to go all out for doing this certain thing. Yeah. Which obviously he's, you know, expanding on it as he goes. And that's where his engineering degree comes in, right? He made this thing.
Right.
He knows how to work it. All this cool stuff. But that's actually my favorite part of the movie. Like that aspect.
That is cool. It shows a lot of the integrity and the whys to why he's so devoted to his responsibilities a lot too.
Sure, yeah.
I think it's good. I don't know how intentional all that really is to the background of the rest of the stuff, but I did like how it worked out for the movie. Yeah. And, So that leads to the ending, and so his sister gets kidnapped. What did you think of the kidnapping, and then after that? I forgot.
I saw it coming, by the way.
Yeah, totally. What do you want to talk about? I want to talk about the him meeting his teacher, and then trying to move the car. Mm-hmm. That whole thing. I mean, I felt like that was. Did you think that had the appropriate weight to it? Because we've only seen the teacher. We've never seen the teacher before that point. We
see him in like, a picture.
A picture of him. Right. That's it.
And the movie opens
to a voicemail of the school that he was going to graduate from, calling him back to see if he could come back.
Well, as his teacher.
As his teacher,
yeah,
right.
He's saying,
I know you had a bad
you.
Thing. Right, yeah, I know.
Right, exactly.
He's trying to help him out, but he clearly can't afford it, or Bo is too prideful to come back.
Well, it's not even that. I think it's just the fact that he can go and be selfish and do this on it for himself.
I know. But he's too prideful. I'm saying he's too to let himself live a life he wants.
Right.
Right. But still the same thing. I mean, I'm not saying he should do it. But I'm saying, though, it's still too prideful.
Sure.
So he goes back to the teacher. Do you think that had the appropriate way for a character we hadn't met before? Do you think it felt? Because that's in a way, that's Bo's cathartic moment if he didn't have a sister and Holly. So, like, because that's about his passion. And it's also about saving his sister, wasn't it? Tina. It's also about saving Tina. Was his sister kidnapped by that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I forget.
Yeah, his sister's kidnapped.
Okay, so I guess that makes more sense. But, like, so he's asking his teacher for an upgrade. Level up.
Honestly, the response was, like, I'm going to see an old friend again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it felt. It felt like he's going to go see an old friend again. And he went to go see his old friend, and they never had to talk about it. Because they're old friends, and let's just let it be. You know, they just happened to split off because shit happened. And eventually they were going to talk at one point. It just needed to happen from one of them, right?
Yeah.
Or it needed to happen from Bo's perspective because he's already tried to reach out, you know, the teacher. So, yeah, I mean, it felt appropriate. It felt a little for when you think about it, it does feel a little bit like it's not. But when you see it from the perspective that I'm putting it in, which is the perspective that I got it from, which is they're just old kind of close friends who used to be close friends. They're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
Seeing each other and kind of working on this thing and asking for help is like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it worked out for me.
Yeah, I think it overall worked out for me too, but I can see not working out for
me. Yeah, I can see that also.
Because the movie is treading, and the movie is, by that point, you clearly know this is not about real magic. This is about devotion, responsibility, drama, suspense, yes. the drama of the drug dealing, the drama of the sister kidnapping.
Sure.
That's what it's about. And also a lot of, you know, I guess some, what do you call it, the Holly thing, home domestic abuse, sorry.
Yes.
So it's more harder. But by that point, like, you'd have to... The movie does a good job, I think, overall, but I can see people not buying that.
Yeah.
Because it gets into a strange territory of potentially ripping his arm in half to maybe save his sister. And now, it's funny how, like, I can see people looking at that movie theater, or I guess in VOD or whatever, and looking at that scene, like, why don't you just get a knife or a gun yourself? And do it. Well, it's not his style. I mean, he basically, that gun that Angelo gave to him in the earlier scene
He dumps it
and he treats it like a hot potato. That's not his nature.
That's not his nature, exactly.
And I like how he does use his nature.
And I think there's an interesting transformation that he knows he doesn't want to go into. He knows that the moment he uses something like that or he does something like that, he's going to become, and that's a really good thing in the third act where he doesn't go through with killing somebody, right? Because he knows that that transformation is going to lead it down a slippery slope of something that he just doesn't want to deal with, or he doesn't want to be in,
right?
Become,
right?
So yeah, it makes sense.
So what did you think of the payoff of it all? Like, I feel like it is a build up to what is very cliche. Like, you know, I think I saw Tina as a kidnap victim already. It's pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, what I found really weird was, like, why are you going about your day very nonchalantly? Like, his day is still like,
yeah,
I go do this, I go do that.
I think it's funny. My biggest moment of suspense was when he's stealing the money from the club.
Yeah, that was so. And I felt really bad.
That
felt really shitty.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that girl got fired probably.
No, she was the owner.
I thought she was just the cash handler type.
No, like she was the owner.
One of, like, managers.
She was the owner. She's talking about they were about to move the whole thing down to her.
Well, no, I thought she was a manager there. Like, appealed to me that she was the money, like the investor type or the owner type. She felt like she was in charge of things, but not, you know. I don't know. I felt like that way. But maybe not. Sure. Either way, she's screwed.
Right.
That doesn't seem like a good idea. So, and he's burning bridges by doing this. Like,
right.
I'm not saying they're going to pin it on him, but he will never look at her in a straight face at the very least.
Right.
Or most she knows the whole time and can't trust him.
Right.
So I just felt really shitty to see all that. I don't know. I don't know why that hurt me more to betray a friend in a movie that's not doing.
Well, what's interesting is, like, it's just that you really thought, like, why wouldn't he just ask for it? Like, why wouldn't he just ask for something back?
Yeah, I know.
And it is shitty, but yeah.
I guess the fear of no is worse.
Maybe, right.
Right. Or the fear of yes, even. So what do you think of the... I'm sorry, I interrupted the whole thing. What do you think of the payoff then? Of them going to Angelo's house to save his sister?
I thought it was awesome. I loved how much of a pussy, what's it called, he became. Or he wasn't became. It was just more like Dule Hill.
Yeah.
Isn't that he became a pussy? It's just like... He was about to die. I mean, and he was obviously in a lot of and things that he never thought he was going to be in a situation of, right? Because he thought he was Mr.
Yeah, Bacho. He does look like very calculating. He does never want to put himself in a situation where he's taken advantage of.
Exactly.
Yeah, he looks like that type.
So when he finally was, it was just like it caught him completely off guard.
It was just a surprise.
Yeah,
I'm surprised actually. Also, I mean, Bo didn't do it flawlessly like James Bond style, but he also did it a lot better than I thought he would. Considering
me too, yeah.
He's just so in a not averse to violence, but. Clearly, he knows this engineering shit, so he's gonna do it. He's gonna do it. He did it right.
Well, I mean,
that,
he literally tests subjects on the two Goonies, and then on the two Goons.
No, I know. It's like literally like boss. Like they have to fight the bosses before the main boss.
Right. Exactly. Kinda
thing, and you don't know the next move until you get to the main boss. Yeah, we liked, and it looked like an independent superhero movie. It did really look that way. The way he was holding the bullet in midair and. Took the gun away, the way he did it, the way it just so flawlessly, as if he had an extra arm to do it.
It really did.
It was really cool the way it was shot. I think the movie probably centered, the script probably centered on that scene, and they worked around the plot around that.
I love how the goons never came after him because
it's so freaky. Freaky thing. How do you even explain that? Right. If it was a gun, they would understand probably. Like, okay, he probably has this many bullets.
Right.
They know violence well.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I can probably bomb rush him. He can't kill me. But I'm like, he has powers. What the fuck am I going to do? He's going to pick up a snake.
That's,
I don't know what he's
going to
do.
That's exactly what it is.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that was really cool. It was appropriate astonishment. Good acting on that. A big question for you, Rob. I don't know. did you buy Dulé Hill as a fucking drug runner?
Yeah, I did.
It's hard.
I bought it. I bought it. I think until the part where he, I don't know. There was one weird part where it just didn't feel super believable.
Do you want me to tell you which part? I think it's the same part.
Which part?
Because I only had one part. Also, it's when
he's talking to the other guy.
The poker.
Yeah.
He just is he hesitating on his own threats to him?
Yeah.
When he's right before he beats him up, I think.
Yeah.
Or when he's doing it, I'm like, okay, Dulé Hill, settle down, go back to West Wing.
That was a long time ago.
I don't care. That's what I see him as. I'm sorry. And he just doesn't look, which is good, I guess, not stereotypically.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Does not look like a drug dealer at all. He looks like he should be watching anime, to me, anyway. Which might be another bastard. I have no idea. But anyway, it was hard in that scene, but otherwise, I was convinced enough. But he wasn't like the best drug dealer either. He was not fucking Barksdale, right? That guy can pull it off. So, anything you want to talk about? I mean, the very ending you want to mention, I think you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I did mention it. So, I guess the weird open-ended question, I guess, that's kind of left in the movie.
Oh, right. You're talking about that ending. I was thinking of them driving away with the sister.
Who cares about that?
Like, well, I don't know. Yeah. Like, maybe you hated his driving skills?
No.
His driving skills?
Oh, it's hers. It was hers. Right?
Yeah. No. It wasn't that. It was, the very end. The very, very end. Where they're settled in a new town, right? Where the college town where she's going to college, the girlfriend, and they're living together on campus or somewhere close or whatever. It looked like an apartment.
It does look like they started with a great love, though. I like them too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And then he's working on his magic, and his whole room is like full of electricity, like a big light electricity. And his girlfriend's, you see it through her perspective, like she's peeking in there,
into the bathroom,
right? Because he's obviously done some upgrades or something to his. To his
arm, maybe, or God knows what, or chest.
He's doing something crazy,
right.
And she's obviously a fucking mazed.
Yeah, she's definitely amazed, not frightened. If I was directing this, and this is my pessimistic side, don't get me wrong, if I didn't change a single thing in the movie except that to make her a little afraid.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you remember that at the end of Spider-Man 2 when, spoilers, I guess, for Kirsten Dunst's character discovering that it's Spider-Man, Peter Parker the whole time, and then they actually get together, and at the end of the movie he goes flying away to stop criminals, and she has that look at the end where it's like smiling and it turns into serious, like a little sad, because oh shit, it's gonna be dangerous.
Yeah,
like that. I kind of would have done that with that.
That would have been cool.
That would have like, cool. Turned into nice. But I honestly think
it would have been better if it was scared at first and then amazed.
Yeah.
It would have been better if they did that way.
We're judging a poor girl's astonished face.
Sure.
I'm doing it. Yeah, so I think at the worst side of that scene is that they just threw it in there.
So, yeah.
Because it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't.
I don't think there's going to be a sequel.
Well, the only thing
not that I need a sequel, but I just think they just threw it in there.
Well, honestly, only thing I get from that scene that it's there for is that we know that he's doubling down on his magician thing. That's all. But in the end, even if we didn't have that scene and then we just had the scene right before where we don't have that little clip at the very end, we would have already assumed that he was doubling down on his magician thing.
Right. Just for the fact that he did it. You're right. It does add something. Yeah. It has a little spice. But, I mean, because on the worst end, it could be the remember the Belko experiment?
Yes.
It could be the end of that with just a bunch of monitors of everyone doing this. Like, okay, they just threw that in there.
Right.
Right? That felt more that. That felt more negative than this movie. But it could be that way. And how badass would it be, is my last thing. How badass would it be if this is like all set in the universe of M. Night Shyamalan's thing? You could be another superhero coming up at the same time as Split Guy and then Unbreakable. Come on. Come on, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Come on. Maybe. It has the same similar feels to it, honestly.
A little bit.
Like the starting of something, right? Anyway, because it's all Blumhouse too. I'm just saying. Just saying, Ralph.
Keep saying.
Okay, guys, I got an idea for you. A $1 million idea. Combine all these movies. So, anything else you want to say on Slight before we end the show?
Overall acting was good. I liked it.
Oh, yeah, I think we said that.
Yeah. Can't think of anything else. We never even brought her up, and she's kind of like a key figure, or one of the key figures for...
the neighbor.
The neighbor, who plays like his big sister. And
yeah, he's like just a neighbor.
At first, it's just a neighbor. Yeah. At first, you feel like it's a romantic kind of thing. Like he's got something for her. Like he's got a hots for her a little bit. Or
at first, I thought like maybe he gives her free drugs to help him. For a moment, but I'm glad that was dismissed.
Right, and I'm glad that she was just like, oh yeah, he's obviously in a lot of he needs a lot of help. Like, and I'm just gonna be there.
Yeah,
that's it. It was cool that she was really cool with him. Obviously,
and I like how she never treats him to be like a mother.
She was almost like a mother figure for him that he needed, somebody to talk to, his confidant. Like, it was like a mother figure / best friend / neighbor. And it worked out. And she didn't play a bad role at all.
Yeah, I agree. She played it well. It's good. I mean, I'm glad she didn't start telling him what to do or not.
Yeah.
She offered advice.
She did.
And she was there to offer more, but never stepped that bound. That was cool. I mean, not cool, I guess, because she wanted to help, and he often didn't let her really beyond the babysitting,
right.
Okay, so that's Slight. We recommend it highly. I think we would probably see it again or show it to you guys. It's all cool. Recommend it. This comes out in 5 months, probably, to most people. Then it goes out to one person, I think. Anyway, we're going to take a... That's it. Not doing more reviews. So that's it for our show. You have been listening to Another Movie Podcast. We'll do next month's review of the bonus episode because we kind of pick them in that month because we just don't know what comes out yet. But I hope you like the show and you listen to everything, and we'll catch you guys next time.